Let's talk about global famine in 2023. The price of rice out of Thailand has skyrocketed recently, just through the roof. And this is indicative of what we're seeing around the world. The prices of many other commodities, wheat, corn, soy, millet, and so on, are also skyrocketing in certain areas. And that's because we have eaten through last year's crops for the most part. And now, with the new spring planting coming up here in the Northern Hemisphere, we're going to find that there are more severe fertilizer shortages than last year, and that when fertilizer is available, it's going to be a lot more expensive compared to the last couple of years. That means that fewer farmers are going to be planting crops. Oh, I forgot to mention also, diesel prices remain high, and that's the fuel used by farming equipment and also food transportation equipment and so on. So food scarcity is expected to worsen considerably across the world in 2023 and also 2024. So expect to see a lot more food inflation, even as more and more people are losing their jobs. Massive layoffs. The government has to lie about jobs numbers to try to pretend like everybody has a job. No, they don't. Unemployment is getting worse. There are hundreds of thousands of layoffs across the tech sector that have already been announced this year so far, and many more yet to come. And as I reported in a podcast recently in Austin, Texas, there were 250 people that basically became a mob fighting over dumpster food that was dumped in the back of an HEB grocery store right off of Interstate 35. And it was reported in local news, and one of the constables, a law enforcement official, talked about it. 250 people fighting and arguing over dumpster food. This is America, folks. This is supposed to be the land of abundance. It's supposed to be the land of affordable food. And Austin is supposed to be a liberal utopia. But in Austin, Texas, you quite literally have people fighting over dumpster food thrown out by grocery stores. Now, why did the grocery store throw it out? Well, the answer is because of the failing power grid. So we had this cold freeze that swept through, you know, much of the continental United States. And in Austin, the power grid was out in many areas for several days. And what's fascinating to me is that the grid was down even longer in the city of Austin than it was in surrounding rural areas. Because I know people who live in Austin, and they were keeping me informed. Some of them didn't have power for 3 or 4 days. Well, that happened to this grocery store. And so the frozen food was no longer frozen, right? And then, of course, it may not be safe to eat, depending on what has been growing inside the frozen food boxes, you know, fuzzy types of things that aren't supposed to be consumed by humans. So in effect, the people of Austin, Texas, were fighting over moldy dumpster food. That's how desperate they are. Moldy dumpster food. I mean, nasty. You know, three-day-old seafood that is thawed out. What do you think that smells like, huh? That's what they were fighting over. How desperate must they be? And yet we're told that everything's fine. Everybody has a job. We're told there's no inflation. Nonsense. People are getting desperate, and that's a sign of that. And the desperation has only just begun. Because what's going to happen here in 2023 through the remainder of the year is going to make the COVID years look like nothing. You know, just in terms of the inflation, the plummeting value of the dollar, food scarcity, and then people losing their minds over the food. So one of the things I want to talk about here today is how people change their behavior as they become more desperate. And that fist fight at the dumpster behind the HEB on Interstate 35, that is a very instructive example of things to come. When people get desperate, they lose their civility. Now, on a normal day when everybody has a job and everybody has food on the table, those same people, those same 250 people might be perfectly nice, friendly. Hey, how's it going, Bob? Everything's good. Yeah, you know, might be good neighbors, might be good parents, might be good people. You take food away from them and they become violent, emotional, irrational, desperate creatures. That's what we saw. If you live anywhere near a city, think about the numbers being not just 250 people fighting over food, but let's say more like 250,000 people fighting over food, fighting to survive. And there are any number of scenarios that we are now facing that could put people in that situation. cyber attacks on the power grid, financial collapse, nuclear attacks from Russia, false flag attacks from our own government even potentially, or an invasion by a foreign power, or drug cartels invading the southern United States. Who knows? These days, almost anything is possible. The world's getting crazier by the day. But if you live in a city, you are in close proximity to potentially millions of people. And you need to understand the psychology of what happens to those people as desperation kicks in. Special forces people in the military, they know when they are dispatched to other countries to try to help sort out situations there. You know, Navy SEALs do a lot of this work, for example. Navy SEALs know the timeline of starvation and how it changes human behavior. They've got it memorized down to the day. And they know that the typical human being dies within something like, 43 days without food, maybe 45 days. They know the numbers better than I do. But between day zero and day 45, those human beings, they lose their civility. They lose their minds. They lose the rule of law. They lose the inhibitions that prevent, normally, an honest person from, let's say, murdering their neighbor for a bag of rice. Because that's not something that normal people would do in normal times. But in desperate times, almost anybody would resort to that, it turns out, because it's part of human behavior. You increase desperation through engineered food shutdowns, i.e. sabotaging the food plants, shutting down infrastructure, shutting down transportation, blowing up the Nord Stream pipeline, and so on. And then you increase the desperation and the lawlessness across the population. People resort to violence to try to survive. Violence against each other, violence against law enforcement, and also violence against other animals, too. They start shooting and killing zoo animals, or killing and skinning the neighbor's dog, you know, or invading a farm of their neighbor and killing a cow and butchering a cow in a field and carrying off the cow parts. That's happened all over the place. Like in Venezuela, they do that. Or people carjacking trucks. I guess that would be truck jacking, but hijacking the trucks and stealing all the food inside grocery trucks. You're also going to see smash and grab theft operations at grocery retailers. So today, the people of Austin are fighting in the back of an HEB. Tomorrow, I mean, I don't mean literally tomorrow, but in the near future, they'll be smashing in the front doors with trucks and raiding the store, mass flash mob looting and theft and fighting throughout the entire store. It won't just be in the back. That's what's coming. Now, what do you think grocery stores are going to do in response to that? Grocery stores will have no choice but to shut down in those areas where that kind of violence occurs. They will shut down. Because you can't turn your grocery store into, you know, an armed vault. You can't have guys with AR-15s standing out front guarding the grocery store. I mean, I guess technically you could, but it's not the kind of image that grocery store chain owners want to, you know, present, like Kroger, Albertsons, HEB, and what have you, Walmart, you know? So instead of presenting themselves as a military force to protect the meat products, they will shut down those stores. And they'll be shutting them down in the areas that are already suffering under the most violence, the most chaos, the most hard-hit areas where the people are the most desperate. And then that will turn those areas into even worse food deserts because they will have even fewer options of where to get food. And then what that means is that if you live near there, if you were depending on that grocery store for your groceries, you're not going to be able to get food there anymore. You're going to have to drive farther outside of town in order to get your groceries. You're going to have to drive out to the countryside. Now, we saw this, by the way, during COVID. We saw this in rural central Texas, where a lot of people were driving out of the city of Austin, and they were driving to rural grocery stores to try to get products that were completely wiped out in the cities. And we already saw this. Remember that when there were all the food shortages and there were buying limits? And in a lot of the city grocery stores, products were wiped out. People would drive for an hour out into the countryside just to get certain things that they couldn't find in the city. It became very common. Well, that's a small taste of things to come. You're going to see people, even if they choose to stay living in the city, They're going to escape the city to get their groceries or to get the hardware that they need or to buy guns and ammo. They're going to visit the rural gun stores, which are, of course, the best gun stores anyway, because the people are so much cooler in the rural gun stores. Anyway, no, I guess all gun stores are great, but the rural ones are more of a blast, that's for sure. Nevertheless, you're going to see people doing this, and eventually they will realize they have to leave the city because of rising violence and crime and arson and just lawlessness, if they don't already realize that. So the worse food inflation gets, the worse the food scarcity gets, the more the dollar loses value, the more you're going to see cities gutted across America. And that's going to create more desperation among those who are left behind in the cities. So you could call this the left behind scenario. Not the rapture, but left behind in the cities. Like too poor to escape from LA. Too poor to escape from New York. Too poor to leave Philadelphia or Cleveland or East St. Louis. And so who's going to be left behind are, frankly, the most desperate, the most violent, those who are willing to break the most laws in order to find food, the most willing to carry out acts of carjacking, hijacking, murder, robbery, looting, whatever it takes, and they will spread. They will spread outside the cities into the suburbs, and the police will be powerless to stop them, absolutely powerless. Nothing against police. I'm a big fan of law enforcement. I support the men and women in blue. I support our National Guard troops. But there's only so much you can do when you're outnumbered 100-1 against a violent mob of desperate, starving, hungry people, right? There's only so much you can do. Every cop knows this. And at some point, even the cops will say, this situation, it's lost. This city is lost. We have to retreat to an area that is, you know, defensible. And that's going to be probably some kind of rural county. And that's going to turn America into two countries, in essence. I don't mean North and South. What I mean is that there are going to be no-go zones, which are the collapsed Democrat-run cities. And then there will be outside the cities, which is the functioning parts of America that still have the rule of law, that still have a food supply, that still have functioning grocery stores, functioning gas stations, what have you. So two Americas, the collapsed cities and then the survivable rural counties and rural areas. That's what it's going to come to. Now, results will vary state by state. Things will be much better in states like Texas. Even in the cities of Texas, they will be much better than will be the cities of, let's say, California or Oregon or Washington or Colorado or Illinois, New Jersey, New York, and so on. So certain states are going to do much better no matter what. But even in Texas, the zombie mobs that lose their minds in the cities are going to destroy Austin, Dallas-Fort Worth, San Antonio, and Houston. Those cities are going to be gutted to a very large extent, and they will not be survivable if this scenario proceeds to where I fear it's going. And again, we're talking about massive collapse scenarios here, a collapsed power grid, collapsed agricultural output, perhaps nuclear war, you know, nuclear missile strikes, nuclear terrorism, invasion from a foreign country, and scenarios like that. The cities will be death traps. And importantly, if you continue to function with the same level of extending niceties and civilities to everyone you meet coming out of the cities, you're in for a shock because they will have already abandoned civility. They will be ready to kill you for a meal, whereas you might still be operating on, you know, being neighborly. Oh, sure, I'll help you out. And then they pull out a gun, say, give us everything you have or we'll shoot you. You know, you weren't expecting that, see? So you need to adjust your psychology in anticipation of the panic and desperation that may be headed your way. So I don't mean to suggest that you should in any way abandon your own civility. We need to be able to help as many people as we can, but we also need to be realistic about what's coming at us, especially those of us, probably many of you listening, who live in rural areas. You may want to help as many people as you can, and I encourage you to do so. I plan to support churches and food banks and law enforcement and whoever else can, you know, emergency response teams, whoever I can support to help ease human suffering, I'm going to do that. But I'm also going to wear a ballistic vest and be fully armed in self-defense in case some lunatic zombies come out and think they can, you know, shoot me or shoot someone near me and take everything. That's not going to fly. You know, we are happy to help, but we are not your target range. You know, these city people, a lot of them, especially these kind of left-wing liberals, they think that they deserve everything. That you're supposed to just give them everything and they have the right to take it. And sorry, the world doesn't work that way. You should have prepped. You know, you should have planned ahead. And your lack of planning does not give you justification to steal from everybody else who did plan ahead. So hold your boundaries, folks. Hold your ground. You know, have empathy, have compassion, help those you can, but be ready to defend yourself against those who have lost their humanity. That's going to become increasingly common. You'll see it all across the country this year and next year. I don't know when it's going to get better, but it'll be a couple of years of real hell. But get prepared, do what you can. Thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com, and also the founder of Brighteon.com. And check out my website, prepwithmike.com, for more preparedness videos. Also, be sure to check out our other shows with amazing hosts, Brighteon.tv. You'll learn a lot there with live exclusive shows every day, Brighteon.tv. Thank you for listening. God bless you all. Take care. A global reset is coming. And that's why I've recorded a new 9-hour audiobook. It's called The Global Reset Survival Guide. You can download it for free by subscribing to the naturalnews.com email newsletter, which is also free. I'll describe how the monetary system fails. I also cover emergency medicine and first aid and what to buy to help you avoid infections. So download this guide. It's free. It's my gift to you simply because I want like-minded people to survive.